On today's episode, LB unfollows her dreams, procuring payback for your precious pepper plant, and shh, don't startle the shy guy. All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Help me out, almighty Lori Beth Denberg. Give me the vital information so I get the red dots. Who do you? The church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh, my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me.
This is Lori Beth Denberg, and welcome to the Bad Advice Podcast. With me, as always, is Clark Roser.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, I was off on my woo. I was reading the script.
You know what? Let's just be done with this podcast.
Well, that was episode 50 for you.
I don't know if we can continue. I don't think the fans are going to stand for that.
No, they don't. We have very fastidious fans. Yes. They don't like it when you stray. How are you?
I'm tired and grumpy.
Oh, no. Wait. Are you tired? Because today is the fourth day of daylight savings time.
Oh, it's such bullshit.
Right?
It's such bullshit for no reason. It's only to depress. I think that the Big Depression, Big Depression has converted all of our clocks for their own purposes.
Yeah.
The Depression Council said people are getting a little too happy. Let's make it dark when they wake up and dark when they eat lunch.
I like how there's a big pharma and now there's a big depression.
Yeah,
big depression. Like there's just the Council of Depression that are dealing with all things depressing.
Exactly.
That's good. I like that.
And
I don't know
if ironically they're super happy or if they're like, everyone needs to feel like us.
I fucking hate daylight savings time. It is so unnecessary.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a drag, and there's no reason.
Yeah.
There's no reason.
And here's the thing. When I was in my 20s,
yes,
daylight savings time was annoying, but it's like, who cares, right? Because it's an extra hour of sleep one day and 1 hour less the other day, and you're kind of like, in my 20s, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
But as you get older, and as you have more and more creatures and people that you are responsible for, that turns worse and worse every fucking year. Because I don't care if you have a cat, a dog, a child, anything that is relies upon you to be fed and cleaned. It just makes everything worse.
This one gets the, you know, spring forward, fall back.
Right.
So this one, we at least get the extra hour.
Right.
But the spring forward is always more entertaining because of the rash of things that people are late for.
It's true.
You're like, I thought it was 8. It's 9. You're fired. But yeah, I have a fucked up sleep habits enough.
Oh, beyond daylight savings.
Yeah, oh no, always. I've had a particularly bad rash of, not a physical rash. I've had a particularly bad couple weeks with my sleep habits.
Oh, no.
Because forever, ever, ever, I'm a super night owl.
Right.
Like a super night owl.
Yeah,
left
I am
to my
too.
Own devices, I would sleep from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Nice.
But that doesn't really work when you're trying to participate in society.
Right.
Because I don't know why y'all need to get up and go to work and be with your families and live your lives that are full of love and joy.
Right.
But when you don't have that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. So I should write myself in a question. And then my head will explode. Maybe I'll fix myself.
There you go. Give yourself some bad advice.
So for the last couple weeks, I've been up till 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock, you know, a few times it's gotten light. And I'm like, good night, everyone. No. And part of that is like, I haven't had any, you know, if for anyone who doesn't know, being an actor is a very freelance job. Yeah. It's extraordinarily freelance.
Yeah, very much so.
So I haven't had, I mean, I have a couple little things and, you know, I'm shooting something for a friend on Saturday. Oh, but as far as like having a job,
right.
I think that's what the weather right now is reminding me of is like, back to school, back to work, because right. sitcoms kind of go with like the school year.
School schedule.
So I am having this kind of like, oh, I had jobs one time. And like that kind of consistent work.
Yeah.
Which is what's great about being on a TV show.
Yeah, exactly. But,
you know, I don't have that. I don't have that right now.
Yeah.
And so I've just been, and it would be different if I just was so productive from 11 to 4 a.m.
Right.
But I'm not. It's just like Candy Crush and Words with Friends.
Old episodes of King of the Hill.
I just finished King of the Hill today.
Oh, nice, nice.
I swear I watched 238 episodes in like 7 days. I just finished it today, and I usually skip through the theme song and the and the
outro.
The outro.
Yeah.
I skip through 30 seconds so I can hear the little whatever line they throw in at the end.
Right. Now tell me, my memory is King of the Hill didn't have a bad season. It never went through that like The Simpsons and some of these other shows that. You know, after a while, some of the seasons, the full season is just like, it's an okay season. I don't remember a single poor season of King of the Hill.
No, correct.
It was all good.
There was a couple episodes. I can't remember. One of them I just didn't care about, and I knew it going in. I can't remember what it was. One
episode.
And then there's one that I was like, I don't want to watch this, but I did watch it because of the whole thing. And it's one pretty near the end.
Okay.
And the only reason I don't, it's called Uh-Oh Canada.
Oh.
And it's when these Canadian, Boomhauer and these Canadians do a house swap.
Oh, okay.
And then the Canadians are just really rude and bad, all this stuff, which I guess is kind of like ironic.
Right.
Because Canadians are always so nice.
So polite.
And polite. But so it was just kind of like, they were too mean. They were, it was too ridiculous the way they were.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course then Hank's like, well, we're going to be good neighbors and help them out when they need all this kind of stuff. So I just was like, I don't like this one because it seemed too manufactured. As I've said before on this show, about once a year, I think, I want to go visit Arlen and meet them. And then I remember that it's
not real.
That they're not real people. And then I'm sad and a little embarrassed. So I did just finish that. But yes, I would be up late.
Yeah.
You know, with the picture in picture on my phone.
Right.
King of the Hill going. And then me wasting time, whatever. And every once in a while, I'd go through emails. And when that little red number got way too big.
Right.
But so I'm kind of fighting my natural habits.
Oh.
And because then I also feel like really shitty when, you know, I wake up at 3 p.m.
Yeah, I was going to say, waking up has got to be hard, too.
Yeah, and again, I apologize to anyone with a real life who wakes up early to go be productive, do their job that they might not even like.
Anyway, we should get to answering some questions.
I know. Give me some good stuff. Give me something to wake me up.
Right? Okay. Well, let's see what I can come up with here. We have some good questions today. Our first question here is an anonymous. We actually have a couple of anonymous questions today.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. And this is what Anonymous has to say. Anonymous says, my neighbor had to take down his dead oak tree that could crash into our own house if there's a bad storm. But the tree cutters use my yard to put up their crane. My neighbor and the tree service made it seem like it was the only way. I said, okay, but that I didn't want them wrecking my garden. And everything was working out until they left. Then the crew decided they had to leave faster and get home. So they crushed my vegetable garden.
Oh.
In minutes, they decimated plants that took 6 months to 2 years to grow and establish. Trellises destroyed. One plant was my daughter's. I don't even know how to explain to her how men ripped her pepper plant full of peppers down to a stick. This garden brought me joy. I also invested so much time, effort, energy, money, and love into it while not being in good physical health. When I assessed the damage, I sobbed so hard I had an asthma attack. I feel violated. I feel so depressed. I'm so upset that I don't have the emotional energy for therapy, nor do I have the funds currently. How do I deal with this overwhelming sense of sadness about losing something that brought me joy and pride? Oh, by the way, turns out the neighbor could have just used his yard and dealt with his already wrecked deck that he already planned to take down instead of destroying my yard. How do I not loathe my neighbor now?
Wow. That's anonymous.
Yes, yes.
Anonymous?
Yeah.
I'm sorry for all of that.
Right? That's a shitty situation.
And there's like four things in there
that
really grabbed my attention.
Okay. Let's start with number one.
We'll start with, you know, have you contacted the company that wrecked your garden to say, I need compensation for this.
Right.
Or talk to your neighbor about it.
Right. The tree service.
Yes.
Monetarily, you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Monetarily.
They can't
give you back their love.
Yes. They can't give you back the time. They can't give you back the love.
Yeah.
They could help come replant the garden.
Yeah, that's true.
That is obviously something that you enjoyed doing that brought you a lot of happiness, that got you out of doors, that had you working with your daughter.
Yeah.
So I would say, no matter what, rebuild the garden.
Yes.
I would say absolutely do that. And that's tricky because I know when something like this has never happened to me because I would never have the patience nor skill to plant a garden. I had my first semester of junior high.
Okay.
I had horticulture.
Oh, at Nobel?
At Nobel Junior High.
In that place right by the street?
I guess. I don't remember. All I remember is I could not find it.
Oh, no.
The first day. And I had a horticulture. I'm like, what the fuck? So there was like a little garden.
Yeah.
And I guess we tended it. The only thing I remember about it is that I couldn't find it.
Okay.
And then at one point we harvested some radishes at the end of the week. And I remember finding them after the weekend in my locker, like dead.
Like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that your mom just made for you and you left it in your locker. Exactly. Like, who gives a shit?
It's kind of a like Ziploc bag with some like dirty radishes. That's all I remember.
By the way, amazing band name.
Dirty Radishes.
The Dirty Radishes.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
The Dirty Radishes.
Click, click, click. That's the drumsticks exactly. Counting down. But my point was before I went on a very important reminiscence.
Nobel tangent.
Exactly. Is that it's hard to do something like that and not have it overcome by resentment.
Yeah.
You know, then it's your resentment garden.
Right.
And, you know, and your question is about how do I not loathe my neighbor? I would talk to your neighbor about this in the vein, not you could have used your own yard. You could none of that.
Right.
But to say to him, look, this is what happened. Can you help me talk to them to try to make it right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
And then you get to see their reaction.
Right.
And then you either can keep, you know, feel good about getting something done,
mm-hmm.
or then you can loathe them, but not take action. What our caller, anonymous.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't say is what the pre-existing relationship with that neighbor was like.
Right.
So if it was okay to nothing, you know, go talk to them. I mean, for all you know, they might feel bad and say, well, let me help.
Right. I think you were absolutely spot on, though, when you originally said you can't go into the neighbor pissed off.
Yeah.
Because then you're just going to be the pissed off neighbor and you're going to be ignored and they're going to slam the door in your face.
Yeah. So at the very, you know, least they could maybe call. Well, at the very least, they could do nothing and be a dick.
Right.
But, you know, in trying to get, you know, compensated for, and you know, you don't get compensated for your time and the effort and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's really just, it's going to cost us money to rebuild this. Help us. You ruined our garden, whatever.
Right.
And sorry, I'm thinking. There's a Saturday Night Live sketch from the 80s that it was a pawn shop, but it was a pawn shop that was only interested in sentimental value.
Okay, I remember.
I think Phil Hartman was the proprietor.
Yeah.
And so someone came in with like this gold ring or whatever, and it was like, and someone came in with this little thing, and it's like, it, you know, my boyfriend gave me this on our first date, but then he died, and it was like, oh, like
that's valuable.
Yeah, it was a pawn shop interested in sentimental value, which I just thought about because I was like, you can't get compensated for the sentimental value.
Exactly.
But unless you're in that one sketch 30 years ago. So that's to start with the neighbor.
Yeah.
But I would definitely try to, you know, it's not just you're building something you love. You're rebuilding something you love.
Yeah.
And I think that will be an important thing for to help you get over things and an important thing to show your daughter.
Yeah.
That shit happens. You might not need to say it to her that way. I don't know. She's like four and you're like, listen, shit happens. Your dreams get dashed.
Stop hoping for shit.
But you don't let it get you down. But so that's that. Rebuild the garden, even if it's a little at a time. And I know you have health problems and all. And then this is the other thing that really stuck out to me. Two things you said. You don't have something about don't have the emotional energy for therapy.
Yeah, nor do I have the funds currently.
Okay. So two things there. There are resources for people without money to seek therapy. There are definitely through your county, through your state, through your neighborhood. What else is there? County, city, state.
City, yeah.
To help people who do not have the resources find mental health care.
Yeah.
So please look into that. And as far as what you said, and this has come up in my own life, not having the mental or physical energy for it.
Yeah.
You need to fight through that because the whole point is seeking help will help.
Right.
And if you're exasperated, if you're depressed, if you're tired, and all of this seems insurmountable, it could get better with the help. Unfortunately, and ironically, you have to put the effort that you feel you don't have into getting this, into getting help, into, you know, and there's a lot of ways to approach it, but to finish my thought for once in my fucking life, you know, the irony of having to do more work because you can't seem to handle the work. And by work, I mean the work of life.
Right.
Putting one foot in front of the other. It's just a hilarious irony that you have to like then do.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be some insurmountable task because the first step can be, for some people, it's no problem. Oh, let me do this and blah, blah, blah. For me, I need steps. I need, okay, let me look up my insurance.
Right.
You know, hopefully, if I don't know if this is an international vegetable garden that was murdered, but there is, you know, the Affordable Care Act. There's Obamacare. That's there for you.
Yeah.
And that does have mental health benefits.
Yes.
So check that out first. Even if you just look at a website, even if you just ask someone else who's already got that going on, you know, and looking into facilities that, you know, through the county or whatever, where you could get help. And then, you know, little steps like make asking that first question, looking at that first website, getting, I've had to do this myself. It's like, oh, I can't. Whatever. It's like, okay, I call the insurance person, like my main man, you know, I call my insurance company and talk to whatever lovely person comes on the line.
Right.
And tell them what I'm looking for. And they send me a list of doctors,
right.
Medical professionals. Just did this when I was looking for a new actual like medical general practitioner.
Right.
Or doctor. PCP,
yeah,
and then GP, and I'm like, what's the difference?
I know,
and then
you're a doctor.
And then I just put the phone down slowly, and I go, my hand hurts so much, I could barely lift the phone. So to me, I need to break it down into little steps like that.
Yeah.
So there is anonymous. I keep waiting to use your name.
Yeah.
There is help for you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, and you know, you don't have to have had a ruined vegetable garden to need to seek help.
Sure.
Because it sounds like there's other stuff going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, talk to your neighbor about the ruined garden, ask him if he's in therapy.
There you go.
Maybe we could do this all at one time. But, you know, you don't, how to not loathe your neighbor, approach him in a spirit of finding a solution to the problem.
Right.
Instead of smacking him in the face with like, you did this and accusing your guys did this and why didn't you? Your deck is a piece of shit anyway.
Exactly.
All that kind of stuff.
That's not gonna help.
And if you want, you could do what those athletes do when they have their little baby on their lap during the press conferences.
Which
and
is.
Then they know they won't be asked any awful questions.
There you go.
Because it's like, oh, my baby's here. You could bring your daughter.
Yeah.
And and she could be like, Mister, will my peppers come back? Yeah. So there's a bunch of options. And I think the important thing is to try to maintain a good relationship with your neighbor until he proves himself worthy of dating.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Well, Anonymous, I hope that helped. That was a big question, a lot of different aspects to it, but you know, it was a good question. We really liked it. Thank you so much for sending it in. Let's move on to our next question. Our next question today is from Aaron.
Aaron.
And Aaron says, a short question, but it's a big question. Here we go. Aaron says, how do you tell a guy you want a relationship without being too blunt, especially if he's a quiet guy?
Ah, Aaron.
Yeah.
Well, there's that catch 22 that's not as bad as it once was.
Okay.
Where boys are supposed to ask out girls and vice versa. Or is this Aaron with an AA? Is
it this is Aaron with an ER.
Okay, so this is most probably a female wanting to ask out a male.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the boy-girl thing doesn't matter.
Exactly.
If you're boy-boy, boy-girl, whatever. So what I would say is a quiet guy might be shy and might not go, you know, hey, baby, what do you want to do? Like being quiet has with it a bunch of other stuff.
Right.
Of maybe being horribly repressed and a murderer or just unsure or quiet or nervous or shy.
Yeah.
So you don't. Also, Aaron, the question isn't, do you want to have a relationship with me? It's, do you want to hang out?
Well,
it's, do you want to go on a, do you want to go on a date?
Unless they're friends, unless they're already friends and she's asking, how do you make this into a relationship?
Yeah, but does she say that?
She just says, how do you tell a guy you want a relationship without being too blunt?
I
don't know. It could be either way.
So there's just that fine line between, hey, I think you're kind of nice.
Right.
Or maybe kiss him on the cheek when you give him a hug goodbye, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then that's the difference, though, between being like, I think your last name is nice. It would sound nice married with my last name in a hyphenated situation. But that's one of my favorite. It's just so random.
It's okay.
I didn't go to school a lot.
Yeah.
But there's certain things I remember. And I remember, I think in elementary school, I read Johnny Tremaine.
Oh, sure.
Which there's the famous Simpson moment where they're reading Johnny Tremaine and Bart's bored. But then he finds out that Johnny's hand gets deformed. Yeah, and he goes, they should call this book Johnny Deformed. But one of the moments that I remember in that book is there's Priscilla, who's like the, I think, daughter of the, not blacksmith, silversmith that Johnny apprentices for.
Okay.
And they kind of have a thing with their teenagers and they're talking about last names and his last name is Tremaine. And she goes, Priscilla Tremaine is a nice name. And then they both get like really like, it's like awkward, but like in a very sweet, you know, Revolutionary War kind of way.
Yeah, 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 of course.
And then he doesn't die at the end, but... Oh, sorry if I ruined that.
Spoils.
But yeah, so the point is that's a little much to go with saying Aaron Schwarzenegger, because I'm assuming you're talking about Timmy Schwarzenegger, the guy you like.
Right. He's so shy.
He's so shy. Exactly. I do not know how to communicate with women. You know, but then there's also the concept of, you know, just saying, hey,
yeah,
I really like you.
Yeah.
And for your own sake, like, no, like what? OK, what I would do is hang around forever, feel awful about myself, recount in my head over and over all the reasons that this person would never want me.
Right.
And then one day be like, wanna fuck? And the success of my life, love and otherwise, is not to be emulated. I've said before, I am a cautionary tale. But, you know, you have every right and you have every reason to just say, hey, you know, did you ever think about us, you know, actually dating?
Let me tell you something, Lori Beth, from a guy's point of view.
Oh.
I think that's amazing advice. Yeah. That is fantastic advice. I know it's scary and I know it's not, certainly wasn't the norm that you and I grew up with.
Yeah.
But from a guy's perspective, I think I would have responded amazing if a girl was like, you know, I really like you and I was so bad at realizing when girls liked me when I was younger that it was, you know, sometimes guys need a bit of a frying pan to kind of smack them in the face. And so they realize, oh, this girl likes you.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would never have been upset if somebody did that. That would be such an amazing thing. Yeah, that's like, a that great way to handle it. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, Aaron, I would say, you know, ask that, you know, that you're saying without being too blunt. Is that what she asks?
Right.
Blunt and psycho bitch are two different things.
Well, I'd also say blunt and sincere are two different things.
Yeah. So if you want to just approach him, and then I know part of this is, I mean, from my experience, it's like, well, I have this little fantasy and I don't want to get to know.
Right. Cause then it'll break it.
But that's the, you know, the price of being brave is possible rejection.
That is.
So, you know, approach it how you'd like to approach it. We've given you, you know, a few different ways.
I would say, just to add on one last thing, because she added the, especially if he's a quiet guy.
Yeah.
I would say just to make sure that this was a very solitary environment. Like, don't do it when you're out getting dinner or out at the movies or.
Or you might want to whisper it. I know you're very quiet. I was wondering if you wanted to be quiet together.
We're going to get like 1,000 more viewers because of the whispering.
Because of my ASMR.
ASMR.
Thank you for your question,
Aaron. Thank you so much, Aaron. All right. Hopefully that helps. Let's move on. We are going to go to our rotating segment of the week, and it is LB Clears the Air.
And now it's time for another segment of LB Clears the Air.
So, yeah, I wanted to do an LB Clears the Air. A couple weeks ago, I went to go see Louis C.K. perform, who's been one of my favorite comedians since the 80s, literally.
Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I decided to post it on Facebook or on Instagram, I should say.
Okay.
And just went, you know, I looked at his tour dates for a long time. I went and I knew posting it would be, I mean, I certainly didn't do it to be controversial. Right. I go very few places. I usually post. I'm supposed to put content up.
Exactly.
Not that much about my life qualifies as content. But I did know because of his hashtag Me Too that, you know, people could be whatever.
Right.
And they were, apparently. I lost a couple hundred followers. Is that the word?
Yeah.
And whatever, I didn't read any of the comments.
Okay.
As I, you know, because I'm not doing that.
Sure, sure,
but
sure.
But a friend of mine was like, are you okay?
Oh, no.
She's like, I saw your Insta. I think she said IG. And the comments. And I'm like, oh, I didn't read them.
Yeah.
But it's, and it's obviously, it's like, I don't live and die by my, follower count.
Right.
Like, I'm certainly not. I'm too old to really be bothered by that.
Exactly.
But, and people can think what they want to think, but there's, and do what they want to do. Yep. But it annoys me. This annoys me because there is, it's the woke reactive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I know a lot of my fans are millennials.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of the heart of my demographic.
Absolutely.
And so I see a lot of this. I hear a lot of this. Not about me and Louis C.K. But and I always said I want to marry Louis C.K. So my name would be LBCK. Because that would be the best.
That was pretty, that'd be pretty awesome.
Ever.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course he had his, you know, issue where he was you know, not allegedly. He said, yes, I did sorry. You know, like masturbating in front of people that didn't give him a thumbs up first.
Exactly.
Which, you know, isn't good.
Right.
And, but overall, it's this thing, this cancel culture, which I don't think is an actual thing.
Right.
It's just a buzzword.
Exactly.
It's a buzzword for, you know, slapping someone on the hand, but it often has no nuance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's no nuance to what I try to impress on people. No, what I try to, well, as a comedian, yes. What I think is important is to impress on people the difference between action and intention.
Mm.
And I'm not talking about masturbating in front of somebody. that is a separate thing that just kind of got me into this train of thought.
Yeah.
Action and intention, you know, and especially with comedy, it's like if you take something out of context and just read it, it's like, oh, that's terrible. But it's like, yeah. I said it for a reason.
Yeah.
I said it for a reason within a larger scope of conversation or material that gave it context.
Yeah.
And my context, what I think about it.
Right.
And it's just, it really fucking annoys me that there's this reactive, holier than thou, you know, wokeism. And these are all the people that I want. This is so not entertaining. But it's like what I want to say to all these people. And they're like, you know, protect women, believe women, all this kind of stuff. And that's great. This is just an example. And I want to go, well, when there was a healthcare bill that wanted to make pregnancy and rape pre-existing conditions to penalize women, did you say anything?
Right.
Did you do any work on that?
Right.
You know, and it's, I feel like that is what I'm always screaming about in my head. And it's like, you know what? I went to a comedy show of a person that I've liked for 30 years and I had a good time.
Right.
I brought my friend. She fell asleep.
Oh, no.
I paid $100 for her to come. And on the way, she was like, I don't know if you know, but I tend to fall asleep at comedy shows.
Oh,
and I'm like,
no.
Okay. She said she was asleep for like half of it. She said she heard a bunch of it, but whatever. It was fine. It wasn't alone like every other night. But so, yeah, I went to this. And you know what? I was watching Kill Bill last night, and it's made by Miramax, which Harvey Weinstein was the head of.
Yeah,
in jail now, right?
He's in jail. He's very much in jail.
So if you have a problem with me going to a Louis C.K. show, don't watch any Miramax films.
Yeah.
Don't watch. And this is, and it's ridiculous that I even have to say this, but this is not to say I condone anything that anyone has done that is fucked up and or illegal or fucked up.
Right.
But everyone just thinks their voice is so important. And it's this whole teenage vibe of like, I know about the world and I'm saying this and that. And it's like, yeah, I went to go see Louis C.K.
Yeah.
I watched Kill Bill.
Well,
and when I saw the Miramax, I'm like, oh, no. So don't watch any Miramax films.
Right.
Don't listen to any Michael Jackson music.
Right.
You know, all of this kind of stuff, which is, it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult to separate the artist from the art.
It's very true.
Sometimes.
Very true. It's very true.
And this is what gets me. And I don't know if this is true, but I would bet that there are people that scolded me. I don't know. I didn't read them.
Mm.
But, you know, for going and supporting him, that will sit and watch his thing on TV.
Sure.
I feel like so many of the loud people who comment on how dare he or how could you and all this stuff aren't really doing anything.
Right.
That it's real easy to sit in a self-righteous position and point out what you shouldn't do. Don't watch them on TV. Don't go see them.
Right.
But it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing other than that?
Right.
And it just seems like there is such a, it's just annoying. It's just annoying to be constantly bombarded, and I'm just saying through social media, and I'm not saying me personally, but right. even on my social media, my personal social media,
right.
it's like these posts about, you know, this travesty and this travesty and this travesty. And it's like, yeah, you're shouting into the echo chamber. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of, you know, dissident voices on your Facebook mm-hmm. that are really, you know, you're changing their minds, right. you know, and I was playing game night with a few of my friends and we were playing Quiplash where there's these like questions or scenarios and you have to fill in the blank, and whoever gets the most votes that, you know, yours is the best, right. they win that round. And one of them was something you'd never hear on the internet. And both people basically answered, "Thank you. You've really changed my mind." They both had the same answer worded a little differently. Right. So, you know, while I did get, you know, yelled at or whatever you want to call from the comments, right. I didn't read them.
Right.
And I lost some followers. It's like, great. If that's your, if not unfollowing me is your action,
right,
you're not doing shit all.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
And I feel like there should be like a mandatory one actual real world effort for every post you make.
Yeah.
Attesting to your disgust with X, Y, or Z. So, you know, and it's just really, there are nuances to everything,
yeah.
and no one likes to accept that because we, you know, live on an out of context soundbite, whatever world, yeah. which is like, I'm rolling my eyes even fucking saying that. And it's just, I wanted to get it off my chest yeah. and clear the air.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully that's what we did. But we're actually running out of time here. Uh-oh. We're spending too much time talking
Goodbye.
About
thanks everybody
LBCK. We got to move on to our final question of the show, and okay. our final question is another anonymous one of your favorites.
Oh,
And
is it the same anonymous from the first one?
Yeah, probably. No, I don't think it is. Let's see. The anonymous says, "Hey, LB and Clark. So after many years of not speaking to my family, I'm starting to feel guilty for not forgiving and forgetting. I know that most of the people in my family are toxic, and I know that spending more time with these people will be a living nightmare, but they're my family. Why can't I stop feeling bad for not wanting to be around them? I just want to be happy and healthy, and that just doesn't seem possible when I surround myself with people who judge me so harshly. Why is this so hard? Will I ever outgrow this self-destructive feeling?"
Ugh, that's anonymous.
That's anonymous, yeah.
Anonymous. I have a lot of personal experience with this yeah. exact subject.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And nothing irks isn't a strong enough word. Nothing upsets me more than, you know, throughout a large period of my life, somebody saying, "But it's your brother, it's right. your father, it's your family." Right. And it's like, that doesn't mean fucking thing to me.
Exactly.
It doesn't. No, seriously.
It's true.
It doesn't mean a fucking thing to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He or she, I don't know.
I mean, anonymous, yeah.
They don't give any insight to us about, like, what was it, abusive? Was it I'm gay and that's not okay? Like, right. whatever it was.
Yeah, they just say toxic. They're all toxic and they judge me so harshly.
Okay, so whatever the situation was.
Yeah.
If there was a reason that you chose to disengage.
Mm-hmm.
There was and is a reason, because you're saying you're kind of falling into that, well, they're my family, like what you hear from other people, maybe.
Right.
Or just the, you know, kind of societally, it's like your family's everything. Here's this movie about a family that has trouble but comes together at the end. Right. You know, and that's not reality.
Yeah.
Well, movies are never reality, but just the concept, it's not the reality. And if there is a reason that you pulled away, it probably sounds like it was to protect yourself.
Exactly.
Because you want to be healthy and happy.
Exactly.
So being guilty about that isn't going to help. However, what's interesting is that you do feel guilty and that you're, you know, writing to us about this, because it doesn't, that shows me you're thinking about it in a, at least, you know, thinking about it a little.
Right.
I mean, you think about the whole thing a lot, but you're like, oh, how could I? And it's like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. You don't have to show up for Christmas. You could just reach out to one person.
Very true.
And
very true.
See how that feels.
Yeah.
And see the response. You know, you stick your toe in the water.
Yeah.
And if the response you get is like, oh, it's really nice to talk to you, you can explore that.
Yeah.
And if the response is, grandma still asks why you're a piece of shit, you go, Christmas isn't happening this year. Yeah,
totally.
You know, so it doesn't have to be the all or nothing.
Yeah.
It can just be a test.
Or here's another idea. You got to stop feeling guilty. Like that might be the other problem. Maybe you don't need to see them anymore. And you just need somebody to reassure you, hey, it's okay if you don't want to spend time with your family, because your family might be crazy.
Yeah. Take what feels comfortable for you and go with that.
Yeah.
A little at a time.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that helps, Anonymous. But that was it. That was the last question of this episode. We are done for the day. So if you guys have a question or a decision that's weighing heavily on you, please send it to us and let LB ease your burden. Send us your problems at askglorybeth.com. Go follow us on all the socials at askglorybeth, or just leave a message with your voice at 1-855-336-2374. That's 1-855-DENBERG. Or 1-855-DENBERG.
And you can unfollow me at LB Denberg at Instagram, at Lori Beth Denberg on Twitter, and at the Lori Beth Denberg fan page on Facebook.
Yeah.
And if you want, the holidays are approaching.
Oh, yeah. It's that time of year.
We're starting to get our Thanksgiving questions.
Oh, that's right.
If you have Thanksgiving questions,
please send it to us.
Send them in. Families are awful, and there's so much to plan in the kitchen. You should really ask me. I'm an expert chef.
It's true.
So you can book me for a personalized video for a loved one at cameo.com/LoriBeth.
All right. Sounds good. Talk to you guys next week.
Thank you, babes.
Bad Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.